design room. I think we made some definite progress at the last one. Come up with some interesting suggestions for our new remote control. I'll again very quickly just present some notes of that meeting. Now the problem with existing remote controls we felt was that they were ugly, and the people prepared to pay a premium for something better. They've got lots of buttons on them that people don't use and find difficult to learn, that people lose them. We thought that for our new remote control that everybody would want to rush out and buy, that we should look at speech recognition rather than buttons, and that if you have any buttons there should be very few of them and only for those functions that are actually identified that people use. We would want to go for a long-lasting battery that we guarantee for the life of the product, and a shape that will be instantly recognisable, A, as a trendy remote control, and B, as a real reaction product, so that when people are happy with that, they will want to buy everything else from us. So again, we'll have the three presentations from the three of you, and then we'll make a final decision. And the decisions that we need to make today finally are what energy source we want to use, whether it is practical to use a long-lasting one. And I think our discussion was around the fact that if we're going to go for a long-lasting power supply, then basically it's sealed for life. And if anybody does manage to run one down, we'll give them another one. And it will be prominently displayed as part of the advertising literature that it's for life, guaranteed for life. Now the internal chip. And this is where I need Kate's expert advice, given that this has to go to market as quickly as possible. Do we go for a custom designed chip, or do we buy one off the shelf and program it ourselves? I'm not an expert on these things, but presumably there must be loads of them already on the market that we can modify. But that's your area of expertise. And then the overall design of the case is Kendra's field. And we had some discussions last time as to how we might go forward, and we'll finalise those today. And this is all linked in with the user interface, so that we go for voice buttons or a bit of both. And then for the next meeting, Kate will give you the look, feel and design, Kendra, really, how the user actually uses it, and of course the product evaluation. And Kate and Kendra will be producing a model for us to look at. So if we could have the three presentations again, please, and perhaps you'd like to start.
Talking about the components design. basically I just looked at what exactly do remotes do. Basically they either press a key or give a voice command, and then this is translated into light signals, which are then seen by the TV. The materials we're going to need to look at, the two big ones are the integrated circuit chip and the battery. And the integrated circuit chip works in conjunction with a diode, a transistor, a resonator, two more resistors, and a capacitor. And the battery works in conjunction with a resistor and a capacitor. Basically, what happens is you'll press a number or get a voice command, and this creates a connection within the remote that allows the chip. The chip then senses this connection and produces a signal in Morse code format. This signal is sent to the transistor, which amplifies it and then sends it on to the light-emitting diode, and which is then changed into infrared light, which is sent to the TV and sort of seen by the TV, and which changes the channels. So as for how we should end up using this on our remote, a couple of main questions are the buttons. The fewer buttons you have, I guess the few internal connections, internal codes you're going to need. However, to not have buttons, or to use a voice command instead of buttons, might make these connections more difficult and raise production costs. That's something we should think about. Also, we have to work within the company constraints, and the company has informed me via email that they're experts at push buttons, and that seems to be the most cost-effective way of producing it. Also, with battery connections, the company has some limits on the batteries we can use, so I was thinking perhaps a combination of solar cells with a backup basic battery, and somehow through the combination of that two, we might be able to come up with something that will last the lifetime, for the 5 to 10 years, and we could still keep that original idea. We also need to look at chips, custom design versus off the shelf. And the custom design will give us much more flexibility and enable us to incorporate the voice function that we all seem to have agreed upon. However, that's going to cost more, but the off the shelf is going to be cheaper, and it's going to allow us to produce it quicker and get it out there faster, but it's going to be less flexible with the features, especially things like voice activation, which haven't really been used much on remotes, so there's not any chips out there that would be easy to convert. So if we were definitely going to go with the voice option, we'd probably have to design our own chip. And that pretty much sums it up.
Okay, so how, sorry, can you just put that one back up again, please? I mean, inevitably, a custom design chip is going to be more expensive. Mm-hmm. Do we know by how much?
I don't actually have any price information there.
Do we know how long it will take to develop a custom chip?
A lot longer than an off-the-shelf chip. The problem is the voice technology is not really highly developed. It's sort of still in its experimental form. So it would it's hard to predict the time.
Right. I think we need to make a decision here. Given that the company wants us on the market quickly and cheaply, that would appear to effectively constrain us to an existing chip, and thus therefore conventional button technology. Now before we go around it, yes, does anybody have anything to say about that?
I just have a question about that. Does it make a difference if there are just a few commands? For example, if you can pre-program in like numbers 1 through 10 and pre-program, say, you know, 9 channels, and then just use the voice recognition to say channel 1, and then you've programmed in, say, BBC4 is your channel 1, as your favorites, like to have a certain number of favorites.
Well, just to incorporate the voice activation is sort of the trick. Once you've got the whole voice chip in there, then it's pretty much the world, the sky is your limit. But to actually, the big step is to actually get the voice activation chips in there and working.
I find that slightly surprising, given that a mobile phone incorporates voice activated dialing. So, for a slightly different. If you'd be speak somebody's name, it'll dial the number for you. So, I mean, this information is from, this is the internal company information, is
Bits of it,
it?
yeah.
So,
Of course, mobile phones do tend to be more expensive.
Yeah.
You know, $150 or something. As opposed to
Yeah,
maybe
true, again,
20 euros
without any,
$100.
without any price information, that's difficult to decide.
Yeah, some more fun than a lot of technology and not just that,
Yeah,
so.
that's right, so it's, you can't, because mobile phones are expensive, you can't say it's a voice recognition bit that these, but we don't know. I mean, I said, I mean, if, given that the technology is not well developed, and then given that it's never been done before, the double risk, perhaps we ought to stick to button because this is the last thing we want to do is present a product that doesn't work. Thoughts?
I was just going to say, maybe it, like, maybe we can like cut corners somewhere else to bring them over costs.
I mean, do we think that the voice technology is fundamental to the project?
It's fundamental. Well, I mean, I guess it's something we've discussed since the sort of beginning. So I think in our minds it's fundamental, but I don't know that the upper echelons of the company would necessarily agree with that. So I think.
I mean, I think we.
It wasn't the timepiece that crashed, but I just stopped recording. Like, it wasn't responding to anything else pressing. So it looks like it's recording. So, starting in.
Well, I kind of think if we're going to have the voice recognition for part of it, maybe we should have our whole thing.
Yeah, I think that's.
And we've been talking about it the whole
yeah.
time, and rather
yeah.
than kind of can request that, we should just go
right.
for it.
Okay.
I take some pretty sure I'm finding the second most important aspect of YouTube is that. The device should be technological than we do.
And so it's
from my prestige.
Yeah, so it should be
technologically innovative.
Right, okay, so.
Yeah.
Fine,
thank you.
Okay. It will have voice recognition. And if that means, I mean, if that means we can't afford buttons, but I mean, second question, do we need the five buttons for channel change, up, down, volume up, down, and on, off? Just as a backup, or so that people can
yeah,
just sit
yeah.
there.
I would say
they
do.
I think so.
Right. Okay. So, did you want to say anything?
No.
Okay. Probably move rapidly on to.
Okay.
Move the cable over.
I did some research on the internet and what, you know, the user interface are just the aspects that are seen by users, commands and mechanisms for the operation, and they're just kind of a variety of choices. Finding, so a lot of times they tend to look cluttered, and these were just a couple examples of different kinds that are a little bit more unusual. There are some special ones available, like this one right here, which is marketed towards children, different designs, and one of the things that you need to watch out for is a V in volume, because people take a little picture of what I thought ours could look like. So just kind of minimize the clutter, avoid too many buttons. And also, one of the things that people have used is a slide button like you have on a mouse, that possibly we could use that on the slides for volume, for example, have a slide button on the slide, and then you can pre-program the channels, voice recognition, and then the voice response sample locator.
If I can interrupt you, well, okay, do you want to say anything about slide controls? I mean, I think the reason that we use push buttons is that they're simple, cheap, and
I think they're about the same cost, really. I mean, I think it just sort of there's a lot of slide buttons out there. I think it's pretty much the same sort of connection.
Okay. Fine.
Just because I'm, for example, if I'm using a mouse, I like to be able to slide it up and down, so I thought it might be good for volume to just be able to kind of roll it and then have the up and down and then the
So three buttons and a slider. Three buttons, a channel up, channel down.
Have you got a channel up down? Have you got a slider as well? Because if you notice something, it kind of like it's got kind of, you know, it kind of like sticks, you know what I mean? Up like one unit, basically.
Yeah.
So it kind of is up one, then like you can keep going up, but it's like a cob or something.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of take it up one at a time.
The only advantage I was thinking of to having the buttons, like the buttons on one side for the channel and the slider, is that if you're just holding it in your hand and you pick it up, it's easy to know, okay, this is just the
one. It's just one side.
Yeah, but if you pick up remotes, you like meant to change the channel and turn the volume or vice versa, so that you kind of get to have it feel completely different, even though what you were fiddling with.
I mean, this is what's stupid. It's come up with is the actual shape that people can instantly pick it up and know what it's going to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're looking at sliders for both volume and channel change.
Thinking kind of just for the volume,
depending on the final shape, because you can have like, I don't know how it works there, but so you can just control the volume with your thumb, and then you can control the buttons with your fingers.
Yeah, in that kind of position, the fingers would be better for pressing.
It seems to me that it also has the advantage that the two are clearly different.
Yeah.
There's no possibility of confusing the two. So, okay. Right. So, that's all you
want
to say about the fun?
Yeah.
My problem trend watching. The digital chrome of the internet from an executive summary for us on the top three things once about consumer. I've got reports from Parasolite on new fashions. And the most important aspect is the look at your last look fancy, look and feel. Instead of the current functional look and feel. This is twice as important as the second aspect, which is the technological innovative side of it. So, and the third thing, easy to use, it's probably a given that we probably have to try and incorporate. So,
suggesting ought to address all three of those.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, and from the trash, which is from my parents have said fruit vegetables are an important theme for clothes and furniture. She's a such clothes, shoes for furniture. And a spongy material to use them on the outside.
I thought that that was difficult, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I was gonna say, yeah, fruit and vegetables, important to this year. Important to furniture. Just gonna say, like it's kind of the fashion. Whoever the it looks fancy in fashion is obviously going to be going through.
Mm-hmm.
But fashions don't last very long.
Well, that can kind of tie into our changing face things. Like we could have fruit and vegetable for you this year,
yeah.
And whatever happens next year, we can have the face plates. Yeah.
I get a spongy skin. Right?
Yeah.
You can just wipe that off.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the kind you get on like hand wipes. You know, that
kind
of
weird,
that
weird,
I don't
know what that is, but
yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
Mm.
Also means you can drop it,
then
damaging it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we could, if we could save, depending on the cost of the product itself, you know, could we have a cheaper power source and then just have it annually renewed? Instead of having a 10-year guarantee with interchangeable colours, or just buy a new one every year? New or when fashions come.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's an interesting idea. It's like the old Swatch watch, where perhaps you've never got changed in those, because people just bought a new one when it went into fashion.
Mm-hmm.
This has never been seen as a fashion item before.
Mm-hmm.
If there may be an sufficient quantity.
I think it's easier sometimes to have them buy changeable covers for it than to buy a whole new one, because you don't feel like you're investing in a whole new product.
I mean, we can. My feeling is that current power sources are such that
mm-hmm.
for relatively little cost you can make it last, you know, a long time. But if you can also make it cheap enough for people either change the cover every year or even buy a new one every year, then it's even better.
What if we included the batteries in the cover?
Oh yeah.
So
that also kind of encourages them to buy new covers. And,
yeah. So can I see that in things? Just those.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
I mean, the immediate thing that comes to mind with that is that they've got the connection, and you've immediately got them sorted on reliability. Whereas
mm-hmm.
the advantage of having it plumbed in is that the whole thing is all, you know, completely soldered together.
Yeah, I guess.
And it total reliability. But I mean, I know what you're saying and understand where you're coming from.
Probably like more than just the battery, like a complete different, like, you've only got this bit's the bit you keep, and this is the expensive bit, and this is like the chip, and this is the microphone, and then this is the power source and that everyone sees.
I think if you're going down that route, and you're talking about how people are slightly older than that, just building the whole thing in one and having cheaper production costs, and giving people the option of buying a complete new thing. The advantage of a replaceable cover is that even if it doesn't have a cover on at all, it will still work.
Yeah.
Potentially. And if people lose the cover, I mean, they might be well inclined to go out and spend however many euros on a new one.
Yeah.
Rather than a completely new.
Well, that's just it with the covers. You're sort of tricking them into continuing to spend their money on our products without making them feel like they're being ripped off having to buy a new product.
Yeah, I mean, it's up to
5 euro to get.
Yeah,
it's up to our marketing people
mm-hmm.
to
right.
make turn it into a fashion item.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as the external fashions change, then we get new covers
yeah.
on the market and readily available.
That's the sort of thing. Once you get the mold set, you can just whip out different colours.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. You can change your.
Part of what I was just going to say. Are we going to make this part of the fashion supplies of furniture? Should we make this part of the furniture?
It's the sort of thing that we want people to have prominently displayed
mm-hmm.
on their
mm-hmm.
Coffee table to say, this says something about me.
This is fashionable.
This is fashionable. I know I'm with it. I'm up to date. You know, the design that I've got, and it could be a homemade design. This says this is not just a television remote control. This is, you know, a fashion accessory. So I mean, the basic shape is what we. I mean, given that we've got, you know, one off button, presumably two buttons for channel change and one slider, and basically nothing else. We need to decide on just the basic shape of the thing. Whether we go down the fruit and veg route, and I don't suggest we make it look like a banana, but sort of the organic, you know, curved look, you know, to deliberately get away from the square look of most current remotes. And, you know, whether you know, the fixed part of it is the corporate yellow, because certainly, you know, the corporate logo needs to be prominently, you know, displayed, so that people that's looked at it and say, well, that's a real reaction remote control, I want one of those.
I don't know that we should make the whole thing, like, how about you'd have like a yellow circle with the RR and it's
yeah,
on it, but like yellow seems a bit of a strong color,
yeah,
to me, just like the thing, no,
yeah.
I mean, just like
yeah.
white,
no,
gray,
I
black,
mean,
some sort
we're,
of
we're
mark
simply,
color.
It's simply required
yeah.
to incorporate the corporate
yeah.
logo prominently.
That's a symbol as
well. Well, this is the whole point, yes. You know, I've got a real reaction remote control to get my real reaction copy maker or whatever. And, then people demand more real reaction
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Well, I was sort of kind of picturing like maybe a shape that's almost like a mouse.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that, you know, when they hold it, it's because a mouse is pretty comfortable to hold in your hand. Maybe we can make it a slightly different shape so they can hold on to it, but that way they can have the volume on the side and then the channel buttons.
Yeah. I mean, well, as I said, my idea was something probably, you know, a bit fatter than this, but sort of
yeah.
that sort of shape. So
yeah,
you
I mean,
just sort
yeah.
of
you
hold,
want
hold
it.
You
know, when a mouse is kind of just resting on it, you want something you can get a grip.
It, I
yeah.
mean, it's sort of
a combination.
Yeah.
A mouse, but held.
Yeah.
You know, so you can hold it in your hand like that.
Yeah.
You know, fiddle
around.
You can do it with the
bottom. Yeah. So yeah, kind of maybe a little wider than this, because this is pretty comfortable to hold. And then if you had
maybe almost like a hairbrush, like you get the bevel into that, and
yeah.
then it widens up top,
wider up here,
and
then it would have a wider thing to
yeah.
Have the light, the
yeah.
infrared light of the TV, and just kind of change channels and adjust the volume. The power could be wherever, top or something.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
That sounds okay, yeah. I'm suddenly realising that, yeah, we're discussing how much bigger it's going to be to change channels, but we still can just tell to when we're starting to get away from the voice functionality.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
That is a very good point.
I think we decided that we're actually going down both routes.
Yeah.
That We need the manual controls, and that they should be in that form.
Yeah.
But that's yeah.
Do you know this shape also kind of lends itself to voice? Because if you're holding it and you're fiddling, you can also
yeah,
bring it up
bring
like
it
that.
Your mouth and just
yeah.
speak to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe like we're leaving out the buttons for the less frequently used stuff, but maybe incorporate that into the voice.
I honestly, my personal view is that if it's not there, people can use it anyway.
I suppose. It was usually off chance that, you know, that the brightness is wrong. I mean, the contrast is changing.
It's certainly possible. I mean, but we're going beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Given the state of the technology, we want something that we know will work.
Mm-hmm.
We can still incorporate the voice with the best buttons. I mean, if the power button was also somehow like a menu button, you could press that and or do voice commands and either. Volume thing could also be to scroll through other options, like, and you could scroll through
yeah,
the brightness.
Yeah, I suppose
you can minimize the buttons and still have
yeah.
those, you know, brightness and tint and stuff.
I mean, I'm getting a clear message that we think that we should have those facilities available.
Yeah.
So I guess we could have a menu button as well, we could have the channels and the power and then a menu button
Yeah.
and then the volume, so have four buttons on the volume instead of three buttons on the volume.
Okay, if you're going down that route, then we need some sort of display. Do we need
The
some sort
television,
of display?
Yeah,
the
Actually,
television,
use
yeah,
the
that
television.
you can probably
Okay.
yeah, and then hit menu
Okay.
and then you can come up on television
Okay.
and have like 10 frames
Okay.
and
Just
you can
scroll to my favorite. I mean, on like a mouse, the scrolling button is actually a button as well. If you press it,
Yeah.
you can press that.
Yeah,
Oh, that's
so press
another
that
button.
is
Yeah, my mouse will have that though, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like yeah, it's like the mouse where you just kinda click it.
Mhm.
You just press it. Yeah, and you could just click that to, so if you had like the menu, then you could scroll through and then click it to select.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, we've got 5 minutes to go in this meeting, so I think we've actually very conveniently just come to a good point to sum up. So Kendra now go away and play with a bit of plasticine or Play-Doh, whatever it is on the other side of the Atlantic. And actually put what we've discussed into something, I was going to say concrete, but that's a slightly inappropriate word. To something that we can see, and we can go away and think about how we can actually market this as a concept, and not just a simple remote control.
Can I just get some things clear from you
Yes,
guys?
certainly, of course.
Energy source is going to be long term.
I think we've decided that we're going to, for the simplicity of manufacturing and maintenance, that we will go for a long-term battery source.
Cool.
On the basis that if you're going for making a fashion statement, then people are more likely to change it anyway before it runs out. And make an assumption that we can aim for a battery that will last most people for, let's say, at least 5, 10 years, and that we will guarantee it for 5 years.
Am I running a custom chip?
We're having a custom chip, but given we've cut the functions down, that will hopefully not be too problematic. But given that technological innovation is important, then we need to, let's say it again, technologically innovate. We must resist any efforts to try and water that down.
And interchangeable case.
Interchangeable case seems to be important to the concept. It should be cheap, if we avoid any electrical connections. And if we can come up with some way of allowing people to actually personalise it to whatever they want, then this is totally new, we don't know whether to what extent people will do it or not, but if they've at least got a good selection of covers that they can use anyway, and if we can keep them rolling, then that's when they get in the supermarket, when they get into any of the famous supermarkets, I don't mention any names. It's good for the supermarket, it's good for us, and it hopefully makes them feel better.
And we're going to have a little being illuminated from inside onto the bottom, so.
That's no, because we've got so few buttons that that actually makes that redundant.
It does actually make sense.
Yeah, and especially if we're making them so different
Yeah,
to feel.
yeah.
Yeah.
And that solves one of the problems of the battery life, because
Yeah.
that would clobber the battery life. So no,
Yeah.
given the nature of the buttons we're having, it's actually unnecessary, I think.
And having it that it's any angle, or is it just
As wide,
Yeah.
certainly wider angle than current, so that if you're holding it anyway, like
Yeah,
you're
it's not
likely
that
to,
close.
and it's it will work most of the time. Not like my mum quality of the ceiling ones as well, the television doesn't work. Yeah, I mean, I sort of envisaged that if this was the thing, then sort of the hole at the top would be
yeah,
the infrared there.
Yeah, yeah. So we could do
like
this and go on.
Yeah, because I mean, the reality is people are, they're going to look at the television whilst they're using it, the chances are. So if they're holding it anyway that they're reasonably likely to be holding it to use it, then that's the sort of coverage that we want. Okay, we're all clear.
Yeah.
Where are we going from here? Okay, so thank you very much indeed, and we'll see you all again in 30 minutes.